With the anger that is often seen in the political discourse, groups pitted against groups, Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill writes, compassion is the key to rising above the strife.
For years, I did mostly candid photography. The famous French photographer Henri Cartier-Bresson once described as the decisive moment. I caught one such moment on film with an old Leica 3G. It was a decisive moment for me. I saw two children, maybe 8 years old. One was in a wheelchair. He was white. The other, a black girl, stood with her hand on his wheelchair. They looked at one another expectantly, warmly. I saw this photograph as a visual metaphor, a powerful statement about the universality of suffering. Each of these children bore a peculiar kind of pain. The one, the burden of our prevailing national racism, and the other, the diminishments that physical illness produce. In a world that has not been kind to minorities or the physically challenged, this image became for me a vision of hope, the way we might be with one another if we could only let go our pride and share our burdens. Despite our cruelty to others over the centuries, there's another thread in our human fabric, compassion. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, while popularly associated with Christianity, actually precedes Christianity by about 1,300 years and has been a part of the scriptures of world religions up to the present day, including Hinduism, Judaism, Zoroastrianism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Islam, and Baha'i. Islam puts the saying this way, "No one of you is a believer until you desire for another that which you desire for yourself." As we know, not everyone walks the walk in his or her religion, but nevertheless, deep in the human psyche lives that primal knowledge that compassion is the heart of our existence. We fear claiming it. Loving someone leaves us vulnerable, and for many, the costs of hate and violence seem less ominous than the possible consequences of loving others. The heart is tender. It's easily hurt. The Greeks and the Romans discounted compassion. It was a liability. They were convinced that our minds and not our hearts governed our behavior. Egyptians held a different view. As they prepared a body for mummification, they saved the heart and threw away the brains. They believed that the heart was the center of being. So, when the deceased went on to the afterlife, he'd need his heart. Brains were a liability. That Egyptians mummified mostly royalty, the ruling classes of their society, is instructive. They were on to politicians way back then and knew politicians rarely used their brains to function. In the great beyond, you needed to have heart, even though you may not have used it much on this side of the veil. Famous neurosurgeon James Doty believes that the more a physician is compassionate, the more effective he is in promoting healing for his patients. Moreover, Doty goes into detail how neurologically the heart has a mind of its own, and until we get in touch with it, we are living an unexamined life. The heart of the matter? To be compassionate is to be fully alive. George Merrill, On the Shore.